If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. This morning, we're going to continue our study in the book of Jonah. If you recall, a few weeks ago, we began our study in the book of Jonah, and we began by looking at Jonah chapter 1. And if you recall, in chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, the book opens up with God calling the prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh to cry out against the city because their wickedness had come up before the Lord. God was concerned about Nineveh. Nineveh was a very wicked, a very immoral, a very evil city. And God was concerned about this city. And God called Jonah to go to the city and to warn them. And really to tell the city of Nineveh that if they don't repent and if they don't clean up their act, then God was going to bring a very severe judgment upon the city. And so God, because his heart is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to call out against the city. You know, I really like to look at Jonah chapter 1 as a beautiful illustration of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of God. God so loved the world. And even though Nineveh was immoral, wicked, evil, God even loved them too. That was his heart. And he sent Jonah to go warn this city. But we saw that although that was the heart of God, that wasn't the heart of Jonah. And God called Jonah to go, but Jonah disobeyed God. And instead of traveling to Nineveh east, he traveled west to Tarshish. You see, Jonah, he didn't like the Ninevites. The Ninevites, they were the arch enemy of Israel. And Jonah, he hated the Ninevites. And Jonah knew that if they received his warning, received his preaching, and if they would have repented, Jonah knew that God would have granted them forgiveness. And God would have spared them from destruction. And you want to know something? Jonah didn't want that. Jonah didn't want this city to be spared because he disliked them. He knew that they were immoral and evil, and he wanted to see them destroyed. And so in an attempt to flee from God and silence the calling of God, Jonah jumped on a ship and he started heading towards Tarshish. But as we continue to read and study chapter 1, we saw that as Jonah was traveling to Tarshish, God sent a great storm. God didn't let Jonah off the hook that easy. And God sent a storm. God got Jonah's attention and sent a great storm. And the Bible teaches us that the boat that Jonah was in, it started breaking in pieces. And the sailors, they became greatly afraid. And we read that as the storm was growing and as the waves were increasing, that the sailors, in trying to find out who was responsible for the storm, they began to cast lots. And that was simply a way that in ancient times they would discover the will of God. And so in casting lots, it was discovered that Jonah was the one responsible for the storm. And the sailors, they began to question Jonah. And then began to ask him, what did you do? Who are you? Where did you come from? And Jonah began to share with them that he was a Hebrew, a servant of the living God, and he was trying to flee from the presence of God. Jonah was trying to hide, but he soon found out that over time your sins will find you out. And it's impossible to hide sin and rebellion against God. And so as the sailors discovered that Jonah was responsible, they begin to ask him, what do we do then? What can we do to stop this storm? And Jonah simply told them, throw me into the ocean. Throw me into the sea and the storm will cease. And the sailors, they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to be responsible for innocent blood. But they finally had no choice. And they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea. And we read that immediately the storm stopped. And so that's what we covered a few weeks ago in Jonah chapter 1. Now this morning we want to pick up our study and we want to begin in verse 17 in Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to read this verse and then we're also going to cover the entire chapter number 2 this morning. And so with your Bibles open, Jonah chapter 1, let's begin our study and let's read verse 17. And this is what we read. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And so let's pause there for a moment. Now, as Jonah fell into the water, and that's what we read in verse 15, I'm sure that Jonah must have been thinking to himself as he was sinking to the bottom of the sea. I'm sure Jonah must have thought to himself, this is it. I'm a goner. I'm sure maybe he was already thinking to himself, very, very soon, I'm going to be with my forefathers. Because Jonah was a prophet. He was a servant of the Lord, according to the scriptures. And so I'm sure that the moment he fell into the sea, he must have been thinking to himself, this is it. I'm a goner. I'm a dead man. And he was already prepared to wake up in Abraham's bosom with the other saints who went before him. But interesting, in verse 17, we read that the Lord had different plans for Jonah. And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah thought it was all over for him, but God had other plans. And God had a great fish prepared to swallow the prophet. You see, God was not finished with Jonah. God was not going to let Jonah off the hook that easy, but God was about to, what I like to call, chisel Jonah. God was about to chisel his prophet. You see, as a loving father corrects and chastises his children for their own good, God was about to correct and chastise Jonah. Jonah, he still needed a lot of growth. Jonah, he still needed a lot of work. You know, that's one thing I really appreciate about the prophet Jonah. Because we see that even a prophet, even a servant of the Lord, was far from perfect. He had many imperfections. Jonah, he was like you and me. He struggled with a lot of issues, character, problems. And God, he knew that Jonah wasn't perfect. And God prepared a big fish to chisel Jonah. God prepared a big fish to perfect his work in Jonah's life. You know, I get so encouraged when I read verse 17 that God prepared a big fish to swallow Jonah, because that's telling me that God is so patient with us. Because many of us, we deserve, don't misunderstand me, but we deserve death. We deserve to sink in the bottom of the sea. But God, as a loving Father, he doesn't give us what we deserve. But God, many times, he prepares big fishes to swallow us up because he wants to perfect his work in our life. How many of us understand that we all need a lot of work? How many of us understand that we all need to grow? Whether you are a baby Christian or whether you serve the Lord for 40 or 50 years, you're still messed up. And I am too. Don't misunderstand me, but we still need work. There's still imperfections. We are far from perfect. And oftentimes, God prepares big fishes to swallow us up because God wants to chisel us. God wants to perfect his work in our lives. And these big fishes, man, they come in all kinds of shapes, in all kinds of forms. They might come in a trial, in a struggle, maybe in a sickness, a pain, an experience that we find ourselves going through. And yet, God allows us to go through these times of trial, in times of difficulty, because God wants to work in our lives. And God wants us to bring us to a place of maturity and growth. And God chisels us. And you want to know something? This morning, we need to be chiseled by the Lord. Now, that's a hard thing to say, because the truth is, it hurts when God chisels us. It hurts when we get swallowed by big fishes, you might say. But the truth of the matter is, as believers, we need it. We need to be refined by the Lord. We need to be perfected by God. You know, I always look at it like this. God is a master craftsman. And when we first come to the Lord, all of us are like big blocks of stone. Not even marble. I won't even give us that. But we're like big blocks of cement, stone. We got so many issues and attitudes and struggles. The truth is, when we come to Christ, we realize that we're a bigger mess than before we came to Christ. But God, he's so loving and so merciful that God takes this block of stone, you and me, and God begins to chisel us. And he begins to hit away at our character. He begins to hit away at our attitude struggles. He begins to hit away at our disobedience, our rebellion, our character flaws. And he begins to prepare us for eternity. You see, the scriptures say that we are his workmanship. That word workmanship in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it's the Greek word poema. And really, that's where we get our word poetry or poem from. So the scriptures teach us that we are God's poem, or we are God's poetry. It speaks of a work of art. And God, as a master craftsman, he allows us to go through things here on earth because he's chiseling us. He allows us to get swallowed up, and he doesn't leave us just to sink in the bottom of the sea, because he's perfecting his work in our lives. And we need to be chiseled. We need God to perfect his work in our lives and to bring us to a place of maturity and growth. You know, I often tell people that fruit, it doesn't grow on the mountaintops, but fruit grows in the valley. And as a Christian, if you want to bear fruit, you're probably going to have to go through some valleys. Because fruit grows in the valley. And God allows us to go through valleys. God allows us to get swallowed up by big fishes sometimes, not for our harm, but for our benefit. Because he desires to perfect his work in our lives. And at the end of the day, he desires to conform us to the image of Christ. God desires to reproduce the character of his Son in our lives. And to do that, he needs to chisel us. Chisel me, Lord. That should be our prayer. It's not a fun prayer. It's not a prayer that you're probably going to like. But at the end of the day, I promise you, you will be a better person because of it. And the blessing of it is this. God will never give us more than we can handle. That's what the scriptures teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That God will never give us more than we can handle. But at the end of the day, all that he gives us and all that he allows us to go through is for our own benefit and it's for our own good. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, whatever you're going through, it's only for a moment. It's not going to last forever. It's only a season. It's only a moment. But the scriptures teach us that it's working in you an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That God is preparing you for eternity. God is working in your life. And one day you will be presented before the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be presented as a work of art. But right now, we're far from it, and we need to be open to the correction and the chiseling of the Lord. We need to be open. God allows us to go through difficult times. The Christian walk is not an easy walk. It's a walk filled with pain, with trial, with tears, with sorrow. But God has the ability to take what Satan intended for evil, and God works it for good. And God builds character in our lives. You know, if there's one thing that I've learned from the passing away of my mother, is this, that God can take something so, so painful and something so, so, you know, hard, and he can work it for good. He can work it for his glory, and through it, he's perfecting my life. He's teaching me how to depend and rely on him. He's teaching me how to be more sensitive, more compassionate to the needs of others. He's teaching me how we must not take anything for granted, but we need to live life to the fullest every day. Don't take anything for granted, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And those are things that through this big fish, through this time of trial and difficulty, that God has worked in my life. And in the same way as you go through times of trial, God is going to work in your life. And when everything is said and done, you will be a better person because of it. And so when you pray, pray, Lord, chisel me. Chisel me, Lord. Now, it's not a popular prayer, and you got to make sure you know what you're getting into when you say that. Because if you ask God to do it, he probably will, because he loves you that much. But I promise you this, that during the chiseling, his grace will be sufficient to get you through whatever you might go through. Amen. And so here in verse 17, we read that as Jonah was sinking to the bottom of the sea, that the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And I just want to say this on a side note. Many people say that it was a whale. And the reason why they say that is because when Jesus makes reference to it in the Gospel of Matthew, the word Jesus used in the Greek language was known to be the word to describe a whale. But the truth is, here in verse 17, the Hebrew word is not speaking of a whale, but it's speaking of a great fish. I just wanted to do that a little side note. It could be a whale. Some say that it was a big shark or a sea dog. I don't know what it was. But all I know is God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. And if God can create everything out of nothing, it's not too hard to believe that he can prepare a fish. You know, I heard a pastor say that if man can create a machine, a submarine, and be able to go under the ocean for days and come back up and not be harmed or hurt, it's not hard to believe that God can create a fish and a man can go under the sea and come back up and not be harmed. And I like that reasoning. If we can create submarines, God can create a big fish. Amen? Not too hard. Not too hard to believe. I think it doesn't take too much faith. And so God prepared this great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Whenever I read that, I say, poor fish, having such a big stomach ache for 3 days and three nights. I'm sure he was looking everywhere to find some Pepto-Bismol or something. But the truth is, that probably wouldn't help him. Or some Tums, you know, to digest Jonah. But God didn't allow that to happen. Let's continue in chapter 2. And now we're going to come into the prayer of Jonah. The prayer of Jonah. And this is what we're going to focus on for this morning's study. Verse 1 on chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your holy sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds are wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's pause right there for a moment. What a beautiful prayer. You know, as I read this prayer, it actually reminds me a lot of Psalms in the book of Psalms. And if you ever have a chance to study the prayer in depth, you really find that the prophet Jonah, he really was familiar with the word of God. And in all actuality, he makes quotation or allusions to the Psalms about 5 times in his prayer. It's always good to know scripture. Amen. And oftentimes when we pray, it's always good to maybe quote some scripture and to remind us of the promises of God. And so we read in verse 1 of chapter 2 that as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, we then read that he prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Whenever I read that, I think to myself, what a strange place to pray. The belly of a fish. You know, I think to myself that this prayer is probably the most interesting prayer in the entire Bible for the single fact that it was offered in the belly of a fish. If I would ask you the question, when's the last time you met someone who prayed in the belly of a fish? You're probably going to tell me, never. I've never met someone. I've never seen anyone. I never talked to anyone. And yet here in Jonah chapter 2, we find recorded for us this amazing prayer of Jonah. You know, one thing that I noticed on the top is that Jonah, in his prayer, he never made a petition. He never complained. He never murmured or whined. But really, his prayer was a psalm of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Something interesting if you look at that. And to look at this prayer this morning with you, I want to share with you 4 things. I just briefly want to mention 4 things concerning Jonah's prayer. And if you are taking notes, which I would encourage you to do, the first thing I want to mention is the timing of the prayer. The timing of the prayer. And that's found in verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together again. And this is what we read. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Now the key word is then. Because really that's a reference to verse 17. That points us back to verse 17. After being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, then Jonah prayed. And I often think, and I think this is a good way to look at that, for 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah did everything to get out of the belly of the fish. He worked as hard as he could. He used all his energy, all his strength, all his resources. He tried and he tried for 3 days and three nights to get out of the belly of the fish. And I can even imagine Jonah, you know, he must have been tired. He must have been just shaking and shaking and shaking. If I was him, I would have tried to tickle the fish for he can spit me out. Like, tickle, 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 you know. But Jonah, he tried everything. But whatever he tried, it was no use. It was no use. Until finally, Jonah, exhausted, burnt out, he prayed to the Lord his God. He came to a place of brokenness, and he sought the Lord. You know, oftentimes, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we make the same mistake as Jonah. And this is what we do. We turn to our own strength. We turn to our own ability and resources for help instead of turning to God. That is such a foolish mistake that we can make. That we find ourselves going through a time of trial, a time of difficulty, a time of pain. And instead of turning to God immediately, we turn to ourselves or we turn to others. We must not make the same mistake that Jonah made. But when we find ourselves going through a time of difficulty, we need to immediately turn to God. Immediately. I don't know why Jonah didn't pray the first day. Why did he wait? Why did he wait 3 days and three nights? Well, the reason why he waited is the same reason why you and I wait. Because we think we can do it on our own strength. We think that we have the ability, the resources, the intelligence. We think that we can do it without God. But the truth is we can't. We can't. We can't make it without the Lord. And there's no need to delay, but we must immediately run to Jesus. We must immediately run to God for help and for strength. Why wait? Why hesitate? Why not just run to Jesus? You see, our resources, they're limited. We can only do so much until we get burnout. But the truth is, God's resources are limitless. And he can do so much more than we can do. And those resources are available to us. And all he asks us to do is ask for help. That's it. God wants to help us. God has his resources available to us, but we need to ask him for help. You know, there's a beautiful scripture in the book of Proverbs. And it's found in Proverbs 18:10. And this is what it says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. God wants to be our fortress, our protection, our refuge. But the question is, are you running to him? Or are you trying to do it on your own? This morning, I would encourage you to not make the same mistake as Jonah made. But when you find yourself going through a difficult time, run to Jesus. He's there waiting to help you, to encourage you, and to give you the strength that you need. Amen. And so we see the timing of the prayer. Let's look at the second thing I want to mention concerning Jonah's prayer. And it's the cause of the prayer. The cause of the prayer. In verses 2 and 7, Jonah shares with us the cause of his prayer. And let's read it together. Let's read verse 2. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. Now jump with me to verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And so Jonah tells us the reason why he prayed. It was because of his affliction, because of his fatigue, that he called out to the Lord. Jonah didn't pray out of affection, but out of affliction. And that's important. And I want to share this concerning that point. Within the Christian walk, there is a real danger when everything is going good, when everything is going great, there's a real danger of forgetting the Lord. You know, our Christian walk, it could be very lopsided. And this is what I mean. During the good times, we forget the Lord. We turn our back on the Lord. We don't make him a priority. But during the bad times, we call upon the Lord. We seek the Lord. We cry out to him. And if we're not careful, our Christian walk, it could be very lopsided. And we can only find ourselves coming to the Lord when everything's going bad, and forgetting the Lord when everything is going good. And I would encourage you, precious saint, guard yourself from this. Because this is something many Christians fall into. And we must guard ourselves from it. And we must have a balanced relationship with the Lord. Good or bad, happy or sad, blessed or in want, we need to call out to the Lord. We need to seek his face. And we must maintain a balanced relationship. You know, one of my favorite verses in the book of Job is found in chapter 1 and verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. And this is what Job said after losing everything. He lost his family. He lost his children. He lost all his cattle, all his possessions. But this is what he said. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes, but it doesn't make any difference to me. I am still going to bless the name of the Lord. And that's the attitude we must have. Whether it's good times or bad times, I'm still going to bless the name of the Lord. Because regardless of my situation, the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. If you had the best week of your life, the Lord is good. But if you had the worst week of your life, the Lord is still good. And the evidence of that is us being here this morning. That's a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. And so we see the cause of Jonah's prayer, that it was brought out by affliction. Now, the truth is, regardless of the cause, whether good times or bad times, it's always better to cry out to the Lord than not to cry out to him. And we really see that here in chapter 2. Whether Jonah cried out to the Lord because of the danger he found himself in, or whether he was delighting in the Lord, it doesn't really matter. It's always good to call out to the Lord. And so we see the cause of the prayer. Now, the third thing I want to mention is the faith in the prayer. You know, when I read this prayer, one thing I learn about Jonah is that he was a man of faith. Jonah had great faith in God. And we see that in the prayer. Jonah was stubborn. Jonah was rebellious. Yes. Hard-headed. Yes. But he still showed great faith in his prayer. And I want to read it with you. Let's read verse 2. Jonah said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And look at what he said. And he answered me. Out of the valley of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Turn with me now to verse 6. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Then look at what verse 9 says at the end. Salvation is of the Lord. That's faith. Would you be able to say that if you were in the valley of a fish? Would you be able to say the Lord heard me? The Lord lifted me and brought my life from the pit? Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah, he was in a difficult situation, yet he still believed that God heard him. And he still believed that God was able to deliver him. That's great faith. You know, Jonah, he was far from perfect, but one thing I admire about him is his faith. Jonah trusted in God. Jonah knew God. He had an intimate relationship with God. He knew the character of God. And he knew that even though his situation, it didn't look good, he knew that God was bigger than his situation. That's the faith of Jonah. He knew that he messed up, that he made a mistake, but that God was merciful and gracious, and God was capable of delivering him out of the valley of the fish. And with faith, he cried out, "You answered me. You heard my voice. You have brought my life from the pit. Salvation, it's of you. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah had so much faith in the Lord, his God. And I get so encouraged by that, because that's really showing you and showing me that whatever situation you might find yourself in, and it might be a difficult situation, Jonah is encouraging us, trust in the Lord. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Trust in the Lord, because salvation is of the Lord. God hears our prayers. God is in control. And on his timing, he's going to answer our prayers. On his timing, which is the perfect timing, God is going to deliver us. And all he asks us to do is trust in him. You know, there's times in life where the only thing you can do is trust in God. There's times in life where you're confronted with something so hard, something so difficult, a giant, a big fish that is just so big and so difficult. And there's times that you cannot do anything, but the only thing you can do is trust in the Lord and wait on him and trust that on his timing, he's going to bring salvation and deliverance. And you want to know something, brothers and sisters? That's a good place to be in. It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be in when you're at the end of your rope, when you've ran out of all your resources, all your power, all your ability and strength. That's a good place to be in, because the scriptures teach us that in our weaknesses, God's power is perfected. And in Christ, when we are weak, we are strong. And that's a good place to be in. God sometimes allows us to go through those times when we're at the end of the rope, because God wants us to learn to trust in Him. He wants us to learn to rest in Him, to stop trying to do it on our own strength. Stop trying to struggle and to get ourselves out of a situation. To stop trying to scheme things and to try to work our way out of a pit. But God wants us to just stop all that and to learn to trust and rest in Him. Because no matter how great the situation might be, God is greater. And we need to learn to trust in Him. And that's what we see in the prayer of Jonah. Jonah trusted in God. He had faith that He would bring salvation. Jonah had faith that God would bring deliverance, even though he wasn't even delivered yet. He was still in the belly, but he was already proclaiming that you're going to lift me up out of this pit. And as we are going to see, God truly did lift him up out of the pit. Let's look at the last thing in this prayer. And the final thing I want to talk about is the repentance and the rededication found in the prayer. You know, in the belly of that fish, an amazing thing happened to Jonah. He became broken before the Lord. How many of you know it's good to be broken before the Lord? It hurts. It's not a fun thing, but it is a good thing. And that's what happened to Jonah. He became broken and he came to a place of repentance. Let's read verse 4. He says, "Then I said, I have been cast out of your presence, yet I will look again toward your holy temple." Jonah realized that by rebelling against God and by disobeying His command, Jonah realized that he was forsaking His own mercy. He realized that he was cast out of the presence of God because of his rebellion, but he came to a place of repentance. And he proclaimed that he would once again turn to the Lord. Turn to his holy temple. Let's read verse 8. This is also what Jonah declared out of a heart of repentance. He said, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Out of all the verses in the book of Jonah, verse 8 here in chapter 2 is what I believe is probably the most deepest verse, filled with spiritual truth. Because in essence, this is what Jonah's telling us. He's telling us this: by doing your own thing, by trusting in your own strength, your own ability, your own resources, by trusting in anything except God, you're forsaking your own mercy. In other words, you're only harming yourself when you turn away from God and when you turn to anything else, an idol. You are only hurting yourself. By running away from God, you're running away from your own good. By rejecting God, you're rejecting the best life you can have. You see, God, He loves us. And God wants to bless us. The scripture is clear that in Christ we receive all heavenly blessings. God wants to bless us. God loves us. But by running away from Him, by rejecting Him, we also reject His love and His blessings that He wants to give us. And we only hurt ourselves. We only hurt ourselves when we reject the Lord. We only forsake our own mercies by turning towards idols. You know, I tell young people this all the time, that the grass is not greener on the other side. Because a lot of times they come to church, but the enemy blinds them so much and he makes them believe that the world will offer a better life than God will offer. But the truth is, by rejecting God, we really reject the best life. That's the truth. We forsake our own mercies. Every time you disobey God, every time you reject His perfect will for your life, you forsake your own mercy. It's as if God got so many blessings that He wants to give to us. But instead of receiving them, we're rejecting them by rejecting Him. And Jonah understood that he made this mistake. Jonah understood his folly, that by turning to worthless idols, he was forsaking his own mercy. And in the belly of the fish, Jonah, he came to a place of repentance. And he came to a place of brokenness. And because of that, he came to a place of rededication. Read with me verse 9. Look at what it says. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so Jonah, out of a heart of repentance, out of a heart of brokenness, he rededicated himself to the Lord. And I'm sure that one of the vows that Jonah made to the Lord was this: Lord, I learned my lesson, and if you get me out of this fish, I will go to Nineveh. I'll go to Nineveh, Lord. I learned my lesson. You chiseled me enough, Lord. I recognize I made a mistake. I recognize that I forsook my own mercy, and if you get me out of this valley of the fish, I will go to Nineveh. And in that valley, Jonah was brought to a place of brokenness. And in his brokenness, he gave up the fight. And he finally surrendered to the Lord. Man, that's amazing. You know, when I read this, I think to myself, God knows how to deal with His children. You know, aren't you so glad that God is not so quick to give up on us? You know, so many times we want to give up on ourselves. And we're kind of like Jonah. Throw me in the sea. I'm ready to go. I'm a mess. I'm hopeless. Throw me in the sea. But God, He's so patient. He's so loving. And like a loving father, He knows how to bring us to the place where we need to be. And that's what I see in this chapter, chapter 2. I see a loving father correcting his child. A patient, loving father correcting his child and perfecting his work in the servant life. You know, God, He's so good to us. He's so gracious. And God knows how to fulfill His will and His work in our life. Amen. But in saying that, we can make the process a lot easier by simply being obedient to the Lord. It's so much easier for us by submitting to God rather than resisting Him. And I would encourage you, save yourself a whale of trouble and learn to walk in obedience. Learn to submit to God. If God has told you to do something, do it. Don't forsake your own mercy. Don't make it more difficult on yourself, but walk in obedience. Because if you don't, God is probably going to send you a great fish and bring you to a place of brokenness, because God loves you that much. He's so patient, and God is willing to hurt us a little bit in order to help us out. Amen. That's what I see in this chapter. Let us finish up in verse 10. And this is what it says. So the Lord spoke to the fish. You know, I often think, I wonder what the Lord said. I wonder what language He used. I wonder if He was like, burr. You know, I don't know. So the Lord spoke to the fish. And look at what we read. And it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Man, the fish was more obedient to Jonah than Jonah. God only had to speak once to the fish. But as we're going to see next week, He spoke twice to Jonah. But God was faithful. And God delivered Jonah out of the belly of the fish. You know, I often like to look at it like this. God not only delivered him out of the belly of the fish, but God also delivered him out of a heart of disobedience and rebellion. And that was far, far worse. But we read that God is faithful even when we are faithless. God is faithful. And I want to end this morning by just saying this. Whatever you might go through in life, or whatever you are going through, call out to the Lord. Learn to be sensitive to the Lord. Learn to run to Him and call out to Him, and you will find your deliverance in Him. Sometimes, like Jonah, we find ourselves in a very difficult situation. And what we can learn from Him is that during those difficult situations, no matter how hard it might be, no matter how hopeless it might look, God is able to deliver us. And all He asks us to do is trust in Him, is to believe that God can do a miracle. This morning, can you believe that God can do a miracle in your life? Do you believe that God is bigger than anything you're going through? Than anything that you're struggling with? God is so much bigger. God is bigger than any fish that might try to come and swallow us. And we must be like Jonah and just trust and rest in the Lord, because ultimately our deliverance comes from Him. God bless you. We'll return next Sunday and we'll look at Jonah chapter 3. Let's pray.